Today's subject message is movie night, and many of you know one of my favorite pastimes is archery hunting. And Marsh, you left for a minute, so I can just say this. She'll refer to me not as a human being, but a human doing, because I can't sit still. And when I'm in a tree stand, and that's the way I hunt, I don't go stalking deer or anything like that. I sit in a tree and I wait for them to come to me. Technology is great, and one of the things that I'm able to do is to text. Now, a few weeks ago, Dave Love hit me up with this and said, you know, thank you, Love. One of the things that he's trying to do is be a little more active. And he said, listen, would you just text me every now and then and encourage me to walk? So I thought, okay, I can do that because when I'm out hunting. Now, Dave is a very punny guy. So I kind of go off of that. So some of the things like, I'm making stir fry tonight. Are you going to walk? And Dave being Dave, you know, I mean, he groaned even at that. He said, a little oriental food has me wanting more. I mean, that's just Dave. Yeah. So I get a little intellectual on them and go back to the deer and the species and things like that. You know, I think walking is like a visually acute cervidae. What? And then, that's a good-eyed deer, a good idea. You know, that's just the relation Dave and I have. And this is going to play into my message a little bit later. But one of the other things I do when I'm in a tree stand is I listen to messages. From our church up in New Hampshire, where we were there for a dozen years or so, I still get the podcast, and I'm sitting in a tree. What else am I going to do? And sitting in church, kind of got to be quiet anyway, right? But I am. And the pastor was doing an expository teaching on Exodus, and he hit chapter 19. And I'm going to go through a couple of the verses, because it ties into everything. And he's talking about the Israelites after they got out of Egypt. And he said, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and the Israelites camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. And the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking to you and will always put their trust in you. And he continued, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Smoke billowed up like smoke from the furnace. And the whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Or God answered with thunder. And the pastor made a comment. I've heard him make it a couple times. And it was about the same time I was texting Dave. And he said, man, when I get to heaven, I want a movie night and I want to see this. I really do. And about that time, I got a text from Dave. And Dave has used that term. And I said, wow, movie night. What a theme for a message. And I took a little look at this. And when I think of movie night in heaven, okay, Marsh and I will sit out on our front porch in the summer during an electrical storm and watch the lightning and things like that till the wind blows the mist onto our porch and we get all wet and go in. But that's pretty impressive, the crisp air, just the feeling. But the Israelites, to hear the voice of God, whether it's in thunder or something like that, sometimes we really have to meditate and pray to hear the word of God. But here they are, and the whole nation hearing the word of God, speaking to Moses, the thunder, the storms. I didn't do that. I didn't. Now, when I was in Egypt a couple dozen years ago, we were for work. One of the things we were doing was out just north of Giza, and we were in the desert, and there were some sandstorms that were pretty brutal. I mean, if you've ever seen, well, sandblasting, you know what that does to a piece of metal. Out in the desert, it was the same way, and the next morning, the soldiers would be out there, and rather than shoveling snow, they'd be shoveling sand off the roads. It was pretty impressive. So I started thinking again, movie night. What are some of the things I would like to see? Okay, movie night in heaven. Yeah, creation would be great. You know, the mass of everything. You think about the flood, right? You keep going. There are more and more things that you think, and that'd be cool. And then I started to realize that sometimes I take the view too big picture. Too much looking at the forest rather than the trees. Okay, those are all cool, and you've seen the sandstorms on TV and things like that. Pretty epic stuff. But what did the Israelites think about then? And I'm thinking about these people who just came out of Egypt. Generations have been in Egypt, in slavery. Right? Think about it. These people grew up, all they knew was slavery. And there they are, and all of a sudden you got Moses and Aaron going up to Pharaoh, and they say, hey, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. And then the Nile, which was one of the things that all life in Egypt was based upon. If you look at the satellite pictures, it's all brown except for that delta where the Nile runs through, Alexandria down. Nile was their lifeline. And God turned it to blood. The thing that they worshiped, that they counted on, all of a sudden was no more. Everybody's hearing about this. The average guy, the laborer, is out there and he's hearing the River Nile turned to blood. The other things the Egyptians worshipped were frogs. And all of a sudden, because Pharaoh said no, reneged on his word, no, not going to let you go, there were frogs everywhere, in the ovens, in the beds. These things that people had highly esteemed were everywhere. Right? Think about it. You're out there working, and all of a sudden you're hearing all this news. Then there's gnats. Dave, get ready to cringe. And the land was abuzz with the news of the gnats. And everybody's going through this. And I mean, it's happening, you know, a week later, this is all coming down. And you're just an average worker, and you're thinking, what's going on here? Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh, asking to let you go, and it isn't happening. Next one, you get flies. Flies everywhere. My wife gets upset when there's just one fly in the house, and we got to swat it, you know. There were flies everywhere. But God set it apart and said, listen, no, it's not going to be everywhere. Where the Israelites, land of Goshen, no flies. And it's like, whoa, okay, this is something pretty powerful going on here. Think about it, movie night, and you're an actor in this one. You're going through this. Then all the livestock, they start dying off. Boils on the livestock, on people. Then Moses and Aaron once again go back to Pharaoh, and he says, no. And they say, okay, there's going to be hail. Put your animals in shelters. People in the land of Goshen did it. A lot of the officials for the Pharaoh did it. And it was a storm like none you've ever seen before. I don't know if you've ever been caught in a hailstorm where you get these little pea-sized things. Some of those are pretty intense. I know I've been out in the woods a few times. And all of a sudden, it starts to hail. And it's like, you cower or find a tree, you get on the leeward side, because those things hurt. Animals were dead. You got all this going on, and you're watching it, and it's happening. And you're saying, man, I don't know what's coming next. Is he going to let us go? And then, let's see, we went through the boils, the hail. You got locusts. Everything that was still left of what wasn't knocked down by the hail, destroyed. Darkness. 3 days of darkness. Except for the land of Goshen, where they have light. God is setting you apart. You know God is working in your life. Think about it. You're one of the cast members here. You're seeing this happen. And then the word is, go talk to your neighbors, your masters and things. Ask them for the gold and silver. It's like, wait a minute, I've just been a slave all my life, and you're telling me to go ask them for the riches, the things that they highly esteem? But after 3 days of darkness and things, they did it. So here you are, you're out there, you've got your stuff, and you're getting ready to leave. You hear about the Passover. The firstborn's going to be taken. What you got to do You prepare yourself. You prepare your family. You sacrifice. You put the blood on the doors and on the jams. You get it all. All of a sudden, comes to pass, and Pharaoh says, fine, take off. Whole different lifestyle from what you've been living. I mean, you've had to make bricks for forever, or maybe even without straw for a while there. Things have been really tough, and now you get to go. You have a future. You have hope. You get out there. You're out in the desert. You're up against the Red Sea. All of a sudden, you see these chariots coming. Think about what you would feel. All of a sudden, you've been nothing but a slave. That's all you know all your life. You've got the valuables from those who have been over you, and now you're being attacked. Wow. God opens up a way. He opens up the Red Sea. You pass by the chariots. They get all destroyed. We know it. And then 3 months later, here you are out in the mountain by Mount Sinai, and you're going to hear the word of God. Whoa, this is pretty impressive stuff. And it made me think about some of the different movies I would want to see. You know, what was Noah thinking? You know, you can argue whether or not there had been rain, whether the earth was encapsulated and they'd never seen it before, but he knew something big was coming. Either way, this was going to be amazing. And you think about if you were just a player in some of these others, rather than looking at it from the huge standpoint of 30,000 feet. You think about Jericho. You go out there and you see David and Goliath. And you think about being one of the soldiers along them. You know, I mean, you're going up against this army. You see this huge giant. The fear that you're doing. And to see what God can do. So this perspective of looking at it from perspective, not necessarily from 30,000 feet, but getting down into the weeds, it made me think even more and more. All right. Little intellectual thing here. A riddle. I love riddles, okay? Dave can love the puns. I love riddles. If you know the answer to this one, don't tell anybody, okay? If you have me, you want to share me. If you share me, you haven't got me. What am I? All right. So I was thinking about what would I like to see other people's thoughts. I think about our ancestors. Most of us are of European descent. You know, what kind of courage did it take for them to leave their country where they were comfortable to set off to a new world? Now, when I told Janine I was doing the sermon, I said, it's kind of going to be like taking a plane ride. It's going to start off nice and smooth. We're going to taxi off. We're going to get a little altitude. We're going to get into it a little bit. But there's going to be some turbulence. So if you got seatbelts, you may want to buckle them. Because here's what I'm going to ask you. We talk about movie night. You think about some of the things you would want to see from other people's perspective. Think about the movie of your life, okay? For me, that's a little troubling. I was downtown in a doctor's office a couple months ago and saw the news was on the TV. And one of the things they did was they were showing the weather. And they were going through the different areas, and there was one right in Saxonburg showing Dinner Bell. It's like, wow, I didn't realize how often I'm on camera. You walk through Dennis's property, man, there's even trail cameras. You can't get away from these things. Every keystroke, every text, everything you do is captured somewhere. How much of it do you want to see on your movie? And that was a little disturbing to me because we've had messages on different types of sins. Once Jason brought up the seven deadly sins, and I started thinking, you know, there are times when I've been angry. It kind of bothers me. Or envious. A little gluttonous? Yeah, those midnight snacks. Roland, I don't do the root beer float every night, but I get my bowl of ice cream. And sometimes if I don't get it, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and get it. And I don't struggle with gluttony too much, but there are sins in my life. there are sins in each and every one of our lives. The lust, every keystroke, every thought is captured. Your pride, slothfulness. Yeah, I think we all have had bouts of these or different times when we've experienced or displayed these in our lives. And it bothers us a bit. So you got to think, what do you want to see in your movie? And then I started thinking about some of the good times. You think about having the kids. You think about your spouse, your dates, things like that. On the spiritual end, you think about coming to have a real relationship with God instead of just knowing about Him, knowing Him, leading someone else to Christ, sharing the gospel, sharing a lot of good things. I think about what Matt does, you know, as a deacon here and the way he takes care of things. I think, man, there are a lot of good things. Words of encouragement. Why do you come to church? I'm going to go off topic here for a minute. This is kind of the intermission of movie night. Rick. You guys hear Rick say amen to that or yeah or something like that. Words of encouragement. It's amen just means I agree. Every now and then you may get the hallelujah, the praise God, where it's something really good that you say, man, God, you're so worthy of that. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't very often get to testify like, man, I could witness to that. But I love my brother Rick, and it's good to have that. Now, Rick, I don't know how you do your messages, all right? I usually draft mine up and then finish it about a week in advance and then kind of try and put a little polish on it. But I'm here to tell you something, Rick. Got you worried? With this one, I finished a week earlier, more or less, and then I'm not retired. So you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you do things around the house, you cook dinner, you clean up, and I'm laying in bed and I'm trying to think about my message. So I'm just going to tell you, it's okay if you're drowsing off a little bit. It really, I've seen those eyes shut. I just wanted to give you one of these. One of these. Because it's all right. I have already fallen asleep to this message about 4 or 5 times. So it's okay. You all have the freedom to drowse off. It's all right. Rick wasn't drowsing. He was a good guy. All right, so the next scripture that I have up here. And this is our primary text for the day. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I talked about the things that we do, things we don't want to do. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so they may be seen plainly that what they have done has not been done. Whoa, I missed that one. Has not been done in the sight of God. My PowerPoint presentation, sorry about that when I truncated it. And I started thinking about that. This movie night of mine, what's going to be? What kind of character am I turning out to be? D.L. Moody, he said, character is what a man is in the dark. When no one's looking, really, who are you? And Samuel Jackson, there's this one, bachelors have consciences, married men have wives. Yeah, we do. My wife helps keep me straight, narrow. I also have brothers and sisters in the Lord who can speak to me, who can point out the things in my life. And it's good. In 1 Thessalonians, I think I truncated a couple of these, so you're going to have to bear with me on the glasses. Talking about the day of the Lord, it says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness. So this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Yeah. I like that. Now, I'm not going to get into eschatology and end times and what's going to happen. But what I would like you to take away from this scripture, you need to change your lives now. If there's something that God is pointing out to you that you need to deal with, you need to purpose in your life to get rid of it now. Because we don't know the hour when the Lord's coming. There's just, why take a chance? There are problems we know we all have. But we no longer live in the darkness. For you were once darkness, you are now in the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light, becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, I gotta go back to my screen. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And here's the caution. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think we all know in our hearts the type of lives that we shouldn't live, the things that we should do. Every time I hear the Lord's will, I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, where it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're to be thankful that you have a new life, that you are children of the light. That you have the ability to know and to do, to change your lives, to make it more. Rick, last week, I think you spoke a little bit in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience. These are the things that we need in our lives. We need to nurture that fruit to see it. I mentioned... Dennis, I think you were talking Romans 6 a while ago. You know, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We're therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that we may lead a new life. We're no longer called to just doing the things that we've done in the past. We know what's right. And we're called to do it. Now, it's interesting. Jane, when you give me a hug or Vi, it just means so much to me. You know, Roland, my friend, I hear you on the keyboard, you know. I see the love in your heart. Just the kind words, the way we speak to one another, the greetings. Tracy, once after one of my messages, you put something on Facebook, and Marsh was all excited that afternoon, and you know that you had made reference to it, and it's like, that's nice. Later, Dorothy, when I think about what your movie would be like, epic. Your ministry, the way you've touched things, the little things that we do for one another. What do you want your movie to be like? Well, we got through the turbulence, and now we're going to have kind of a smooth ending to all this, because the truth of the matter is, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive our sins from all impurity. And that's what it's all about. I don't believe there's going to be a movie night in heaven. I really don't. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be, we're going to put this stuff away, and we've just got so much great stuff to look forward through. I know nobody would have to want to listen to this again, so it's not going to be on my movie. But there are a lot of good things that we speak into each other's lives. Things that we do. So I got a couple takeaways from today. The first thing is, there it isn't a scorecard of what's good and what's bad. You know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Right? For it is by grace you're saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, not by works, so that nobody can boast. It's not the good things outweighing the bad. But there are good things that we are called to do to one another, to help, to encourage, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So during the course of the week, sometimes I just want you to ask yourself, what's your movie going to be like? Is it going to be this epic, this long narrative that has so many good things, so many different illustrations of the way you've touched other people's lives, things you've done for God, times when you've been up against it and you've overcome? Scripture says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Right? He always provides a way out. So is your movie going to have those times when you've been tempted and you stood up against them? I would hope so. I would hope that all the film and things doesn't end up on the cutting floor just because they were sins that got dismissed. I want your movies to be full feature films, not just a little trailer. You know, a little good things. And then finally, all right, guys. In all honesty, the Steelers aren't playing today. There's no reason to rush home. We're all okay. I know my stomach's on a different agenda because this hour threw me. But what do you want to see on the highlight reel? You know, there's going to be a time when we come before the throne. And you want God to say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Just things to think about during the course of the week.